Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Today is Thursday, March the 10th, just in case you didn't know it. And I believe the time goes back this weekend, so I want you to be looking forward to setting those clocks back. Am I right? I think that's right. No, going forward. I can't remember. I'll check it out. We'll be sure to correct that here in a little bit. But anyway, the next phase with Ice and Friends, Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. So we go forward 1 hour this weekend. Anyway, a little disclaimer. I want to welcome you anyway, and I hope you're enjoying your week this week. I know there are some terrible things going on, and we'll get into some of that a little bit later on in the show. And hopefully what we'll look forward to is coming up with some solutions that possibly, but anyway, we'll take a look at all that right after this. A little disclaimer that we always like to give out is any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. The description of this show simply is this. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members of the communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached, hopefully, in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth especially, stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, or any members for that matter of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include here, join us right here as we seek the truth on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040, or you can email us at blak.icz@gmail.com, blakicz.1@gmail.com. And I want to thank Chatologist. Chatologist is in the chat room right now. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and I hope you can hear me very well. But there are some other things I'd like to add to based on the events that have occurred as a result of these things that have occurred this weekend and this past week some really strange occurrences. Let me drop this on you also. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics they find interesting. Always want to mention Sister Rabia Ahmed and the organization of SMART. SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia, she started an organization almost a year ago, does considerably more than just talk. So I want to thank her for sharing anytime she has a chance to. That's www.smart2change.org. That's www.smart2change.org in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. And judging by the way things are looking, there are going to be a lot of people who potentially will have some need for organizations like these. And I want to thank her for being out there and in the forefront with her organization. She's gone through quite a bit to have that organization established, to get it up and running. She's met with local officials and so forth. And I wish her all the best with that particular program. Single Mothers Are Really Trying, SMART, www.smart2change.org. India Declare Show. Sister India, I had a chance to be on her show today, and it was wonderful. It's a very stimulating conversation. 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to thank her so very. She is such a kind person and very in tune with the times. And as she says it, she is the real raw right now. And you can believe that. Very well informed. She always has a tremendous amount of information and sites and sources to share with you. Get a chance, Sister India Declare, daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Monday through Saturday. Sister Navazor, 1, heard Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R, 1, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also Sister Janice Ground and Our Common Ground. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/OCG. Our Common Ground with Sister Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice Graham. And also that show is absolutely phenomenal as well. I think she has a show that runs simultaneously with mine as well. And, but hey, we just do the best we can to get the information out there, and we hope that you enjoy it no matter what source you find. We hope that that source provides some means and method for you to be more well-informed than you would be ordinarily with just the corporate media. Also, Shooting the Breeze with Miss Quiet Storm. That's M-S-Q-U-I-E-T, Storm. Quiet Storm, Miss Quiet Storm. She's heard right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you come to Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is when you get to the search block, type in either India Declare, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India Declare, or N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, Navazor, or J-A-N-I-C-E-G-R-A-H-A-M, Janice Graham, or Miss Quiet Storm, M-S-Q-U-I-E-T-S-T-O-R-M. And that search bar will get you the information that you need to find these different productions. And I have to commend each of those ladies. They have wonderful productions. Miss Quiet Storm more addresses situations in regard to family situations, and you just need to check her show out. She has some wonderful shows, especially addresses sisters of all different colors and ethnicities. And that information that I think you'll find very, very informative and encouraging. And I think my brother Alpha, I just think I saw him come in the room. I got the screen up, but I think I see Alpha in the room, and I'm waving wildly at my brother. Hey, top of the good evening to you, brother Alpha. Alpha and Alpha, put your stuff in here. You know I don't have it. Put it in here, and let me copy it and put it in this page that I always look at. Brother Alpha's heard on Saturdays. And I'm almost sure it's 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, A-L-F-O, Alpha. So just please give my brother a good listen to, because he is well worth your time, as are all the rest of the hosts that I've named up to this point. Brother Alpha, A-L-F-O, type it in the search block at Blog Talk Radio, and it'll get you to his show. And I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed, not in the least bit. What I'd like to do now to get into some other things is Sister Serena Williams. I'd like to say to you, Sister, 17160, hey, guest 17160, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it. Sure do. Got some information from up in the Madison, Wisconsin that I want to share with you guys. And I had asked some other individuals to share with us on the phone line. Just give us a call, 347-945-7040. Or you can come in the chat site, you know, or you can listen to us on the phone, whichever, or on your computer, whichever you choose to do. But Sister Serena Williams, I'm hoping and praying that she does better, bless her heart, one of the most phenomenal tennis players ever to hit the court, and she's having some problems with some blood clots. What I'll do, let me check my phone right quick. I had a brother that was going to call in, and he hadn't made it yet. Maybe he's... he has some other previous engagements. If so, I understand. Brother Alpha, you know, any one of you are always welcome to give us a call right here at Blog Talk Radio, 347-945-7040. The next phase with Ice and Friends. And Let me start off by taking a look at this little thing that I wrote up, and I hope that it works out. And it's called An Ounce of Prevention is Worth a Ton of Cure. An ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Well, it's finally here, the dreaded consequences for your inaction. For all those who took the famous progressive solution of opting out of the last election, welcome to your reality. All the Michael Moores, Bill Press, Ed Schultz, LGBT crowd, all these supposed progressive leaders who don't have one single seat in any House or Senate anywhere, such as the Tom Hartmans et al. When you preached abandoning the Democratic Party and President Obama because they didn't serve your narrow little interest, this is the child you spawned. Power to the Republicans, is that the prescription that you foresaw? Is that the result that you wanted? Well, whatever the experiment you recommended, this is the result, a complete and total destruction of the civil rights tenets that have existed since the inception of these, what you call United States. May I share my opinion with you? To be honest, I really believe that this subterfuge is designed to delay, if not dismiss, the charges that would have been levied against Karl Rove and the rest of the Bush administration or misadministration. I mean the legal charges that could result in jail time. These elaborate schemes are being implemented to avoid the total demise of the Republican Party. If you have ever had any lingering doubt about as to the efficacy of the Republicans, I hope this will serve to be a profound proof necessary for you to come to the reality. They are a party whose agenda is totally against the citizens of the United States and totally in favor of the corporations. When you hear me speak in non-glowing terms in reference to the corporations, you might think that I'm not in favor of corporate profit. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Quite the contrary, I'm for corporate profits within reason. That sounds rather audacious, does it not? Well, honestly, I feel my opinion is as significant, if not more so, as any corporate head, with all respect due to the corporate heads. We the workers, are the golden gooses, and when you kill us, your supply has just lost its demand force. That's when you suffer, and we suffer. You see, our best interests are convergent rather than divergent. When you profit, we profit as well. When we falter, so does your demand. So is this all about unions? Absolutely not. Good unions represent the worker against those corporation heads who have been more attracted to profits than to the preservation of the golden goose. When you kill us gooses, you also damage our goslings, and they are the future. We, the people, stand along with the best purposes of government, who is actually us as well. Regardless to what people may think, we still elect government officials. Although the dominant voting majority has not always voted in our own best interest or their own best interest, that's when clear-minded activists are needed to accentuate discrepancies that could cause tremendous and almost irreparable social, psychological, spiritual, ethical, moral, and even financial damage. Some of those excesses were felt during the spiraling down of our economy in the last administration. Those instances are not met with a normal, sorry, we made some mistakes, or met with an accountable report such as, that was in this part of the future. Y'all are just, you know, they use the terms, y'all are just as bad. Always denial and obfuscation, which is becoming the stock and trade of the Republican Party. Karl Rove is relentless in his efforts to avoid the courtroom, and no person or persons have a worth more sufficient to not be thrown under the proverbial bus. So that means no persons have a worth that is sufficient not to be thrown under the proverbial bus when it comes to Mr. Karl Rove, because that would be the total destruction of the Republican Party. Back to the problem at hand, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Florida, Mississippi, and wherever the citizens are having their civil rights stripped, wherever there are the arbitrary replacement of the senators and assembly persons and representatives for purely political reasons, key word here is vigilance vigilance, vigilance. Some people may wonder why there is such an emphasis on years of slavery, slaughter of first-generation people, the Holocaust, the different Mexican celebrations, and many, many more. Well, it is essential there is a commemoration of events of this magnitude so that the individuals and these horrendous events are never forgotten. Neither should the perpetrators be forgotten. There should never be a repeat of the events of the last few weeks. It all depends on your belief system. Fortunately, many of our belief systems have been designed around the concept of relentless advancement of all people. We have been committed to that concept for generations. We do not just talk about it. We live it on a daily basis, and we were raised on the adage that an ounce of prevention is worth much more than a ton of cure. And, you know, I have a problem putting all my thoughts together, and I just, hey, my sister Indy DeClaire, is that you? Oh, my God, Indy DeClaire is in the room, in the house, in the hizzy. Let me look at my, and you know, guys, give me a call if you choose to. I really would appreciate it. Anytime you have a chance, you're more than welcome to give me a call right here at Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call is 347-945-7040. And I had some information from a friend of mine who will remain nameless. Well, I actually, she's a guest in the room. Well, she left. It was guest number. Well, anyway, she left. But thank you, Sister India. thank you. Yeah, Chatologist, we visit quite often there. And the guest that was telling me that how bad the things are up in Wisconsin. And it just so happens, in my opinion, that our situations for all the citizens of the United States of America are convergent with those situations that are occurring up in Wisconsin. And if we don't come together, if this is not a sign that we should come together and strive for some synergy, then I don't know what could be any more indicative of a necessity for us to come together as a group and form some consensuses that we may not be able to stop the initial damage that's occurring there now, but hopefully we will be able to in the future provide a means of stopping anything that could be anywhere to this degree. As what's going on in Wisconsin today, as well as Indiana and Michigan, because these things almost to me, and Ohio, these things are almost unforgivable. Many of the people are going to be ill affected. I understand that there are some teachers in Wisconsin that are even contemplating retirement. I'm understanding that they are facing some horrendous decisions that they're having to make, almost life-changing decisions. And when I say life-changing decisions, I'm not being melodramatic, and I'm not trying to overly state the case, but people are looking at all kinds of methods to address these issues that are occurring in Wisconsin today and some of the other states. I totally regret, and I feel so sorry for those individuals who are caught up in that melee that's occurring up there, that whirlwind that's occurring. And to me, what has to happen is there has to be some means to address it prior to it becoming so pervasive. And that's the reason that I talked about an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Tell you what, let me take a quick break. I'll be right back. And right after this, we'll take a listen to this. And then I'll be right back with some information here in just a second. Please hold on just a second. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need?
347-945-7040 if you get a chance. We'd appreciate it. And taking a look at some of the events that have occurred in the past week, especially in regard to the governor of Wisconsin, Governor Walker, it says here, Wisconsin, this is information that I found in Think Progress by Ian Millhiser, March 10th, 2011, 415 is the dateline. Wisconsin can repeal Walker's anti-union bill in 2012 and amend the state constitution in 2013. Do you have the time for that? I'm wondering. Do you have the time? An ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Last night, with Wisconsin State Republicans abandoned any remaining pretenses that a bill stripping state workers of their collective bargaining rights has anything whatsoever to do with the state's finances, and rammed the bill through the Senate without any Democrats present. Yet even if Governor Scott Walker, Republican, succeeds in signing this bill into law, Wisconsin voters have the power to ensure the victory is short-lived. First, a broad coalition of these voters are circulating petitions to recall the 8 GOP state senators who are currently eligible to be removed from office. If just 3 of these seats are flipped to the Democrats, the GOP will lose control of the state's upper house. Second, because Wisconsin law allows any elected official to be recalled after they have served one full year of their term in office, all remaining state legislators and Governor Walker will be eligible for recall election next January. If Wisconsin voters wage a successful campaign to fire the state's anti-worker lawmakers, this bill could be repealed as soon as the snow starts to melt in the spring of 2012. Third, Wisconsin also has the power to ensure that no further lawmakers can repeat Walker's assault on working families. Constitutional Amendment Section 1, any amendments or amendments of the Constitution should be proposed in either house of the legislature, and if the same shall be agreed to by a majority of the members of elected to each of the two houses, and if in the legislature so next chosen, such proposed amendments shall be agreed to by a majority of all the members of the elected members elected to each house, then it shall be the duty of the legislature to submit such proposed amendment or amendments to the people in such manner at such time as the legislature shall prescribe, and if the people shall approve and ratify such amendment or amendments by a majority of the electors voting thereon, such amendment or amendments shall become part of the Constitution. In other words, the Wisconsin Constitution can be amended in a three-step process. One, the current legislature must approve the amendment. Two, after the next election, the new legislature must approve the amendment. Three, the voters must ratify the amendment by a majority vote. Under this procedure, Wisconsin could amend its constitution to permanently protect working families as soon as 2013. And my question to you is, will you? Do you have that will? Will you protect the families of Wisconsin? And only the voters in Wisconsin can do that. And once they come together and form groups that are have the best interest of the voters in their hearts and minds and in their hands, then they can make those changes. But the voters in Wisconsin are the only ones. With our support, we support you. I do. And right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends, and you're welcome to give us a call anytime and express your opinion about the situations that are occurring pro or con in Wisconsin. We'd appreciate it. We entertain you, and we'd entertain your call and appreciate you giving us a call in here at 347-945-7040. In Ohio, pro-worker lawmakers are already planning a ballot referendum to overrule an anti-worker bill that is moving forward in the state. Wisconsin law will require working families and their supporters to jump through a few more hoops to reverse Walker's actions. Nevertheless, they unambiguously have the power to repeal Walker's bill in 2012 and to ensure that similar bills can never be become law in 2013. So this is just some information that I've been trying to gather as I pursue some of the issues that I've seen to be fairly relevant and pertinent in Wisconsin. And the reason that it scares me, I live in Texas, and this is a right-to-work state, but there are some states who are, they're trying to take them union, I mean take away the freedom of them to form unions, and I really support those states if they choose to continue to operate the way that they have in the past, where they have collective bargaining, and I support you. and I wish you the best success at possible. And if there's anything that I could do to help you out, I'll be more than willing to with the meager efforts that I can employ. So also here's some more news of interest. Wisconsin GOP and anti-union voters violate state's open meetings laws. And these are some of the things, again, I found this in Think Progress by Ian Millhiser, March the 10th, 2011, 9:45. Is a dayline. Last night, Wisconsin GOP lawmaker called a surprise conference committee meeting and then rammed an anti-union bill through the state Senate. Yet by forcing the bill through without legal required public notice, the senators may have ensured that the bill will be declared void. Wisconsin law requires all government meetings to be conducted publicly and with advance notice, except under the very limited circumstances. According to a guide in the Wisconsin's open meetings law prepared by the state Republican Attorney General. The provision is Wisconsin State 19.84, statute 19.84 requires that every public notice of a meeting be given at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting, unless, for good cause, such notice is impossible or impractical. If good cause exists, the notice should be given as soon as possible and must be given at least 2 hours in advance of the meeting. If there is any doubt whether good cause exists, the government body should provide the full 24-hour notice. Wisconsin Statute 19.97, I believe it's Section 3, provides that a court may avoid any action taken at a meeting held in violation of the open meetings law if the courts find that the interest is in enforcing the law outweighs any interest in maintaining the validity of such action. Yet when State Representative Peter Barca, Democrat, informed his colleagues of his legal requirements during tonight's conference meeting, committee, the committee's Republican majority ignored his protest, as we saw on TV, and voted to approve the bill while Barca was still explaining why their actions were illegal, and that was terrible, but it occurred, and I got a chance to witness it, you know, as a result of the news media. A few GOP-aligned outlets are now trying to claim that the law was not violated because the conference committee was announced 2 hours in advance, yet there is no evidence whatsoever that it would have been impossible or impractical to give the full day's notice required by law. In other words, Barker's argument are clearly consistent with the Attorney General's understanding of the law, and most important open question is whether the courts will exercise their authority to void any action taken in the meeting held in violation of the open meetings law and invalidate this bill. And we can only hope, and because I don't know, for some reason I have an investment in these cases that are occurring up in Wisconsin. I have some calls on the board, and I'd like to invite you to give us a call at 347-945-7040 if you want to, 347-945-7040. Going to the board right now with caller numbers at area code 715. Caller at area code 715. Are you online?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Welcome to the show. Glad you gave us a call in. You are in Wisconsin?
I'm in Wisconsin, in the thick of it.
Can you provide any information or insight as to what might be going on in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that it's
right.
An attended corporate takeover.
Right. A corporate takeover, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I would like to read a poem that was written by one of the teachers that I work with. Would that be okay?
Sure, absolutely. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Okay. I'm reading this with her permission. From the heart. Dedicated, nurturing, committed, hardworking, who enjoys and loves to teach her incredibly wonderful fifth graders, who feels commitment and a desire to teach her utmost best for each and every child, who needs to do her very best in the implementation of the best programs for our children, our future, who unselfishly shares her time, talent, and educational goals with her children, whom she is dedicated to each and every day, including months during the summer, who secretly fears she is not diligent enough in adequately preparing the children for what they will face in the near future, who would like to see an educational system that is financially secure and equipped for the 21st century student, who dreams of a world where teachers can set goals through collaboration and where we have a voice and receive respect as teachers, who ultimately ends up feeling copiously satisfied with the job she has done. This teacher, this is the first half of her poem.
Uh-huh.
She's a 53-year-old teacher who had got a letter today from the administrators saying that she has the option to retire early at age 53.
Does she have any plans that would have put her in a position where that wouldn't be that wouldn't have a terribly horrendous impact on her life?
It has a very big impact on her life because teaching is her vocation. And then here comes the second half of her poem.
Okay.
After the bill. Devastated, rejected, unvalued, and unappreciated. Who questions and quiescently ponders why she has chosen this profession. Who feels resentment at times over all the hours she fervently labors and how she is viewed and unappreciated by many. Who needs to see appreciation and value every once in a while, just like anyone else, even though her satisfaction comes from the children's growth, smiles, and hugs. Who still shares 65 to 70 hours of her life every week, vowing to do what is right for the children she loves despite the deep hurt and painful rejection inside. Who fears an educational system which will become even more broken, and consequently children who will be educated by people who are not in the field for the right reasons, who would like to see respect for the teaching profession, who dreams of people understanding the trials and tribulations of our profession while educating our most precious commodities, our children, who leaves the profession with resentment and anger rather than the passion that ignited and materialized her dream years prior from the heart.
Wow.
I think of the teachers that we'll be losing in our rural district, all the years of wisdom that will be walking out the door that we will never get back. Because a brand new teacher is not a great teacher. It takes years and years of work to become a great teacher. I'm not saying that there aren't great teachers out there, but our district will lose immensely. And that's just part of it. That's just the teacher part of it.
Mm-hmm. A caller in 715. You know, one of the things that my mom was a teacher for 40 almost 50 years, and so I've seen my mom sweat whenever every August she would sweat, wondering whether or not she would get her contract renewed, and I have my daughter. Is a teacher also right now, and so it takes some time to be a seasoned teacher, and and what I regret more than anything is the way that these situations have been brought about. You know, I my personal belief from purely a distant view of Wisconsin is that there were alternatives to this particular plan that's being implemented by the governor of Wisconsin. And I think that if he would only have a mind to negotiate, that there people, I think if I'm not mistaken, the teachers, educators, union people, and so forth have made concessions and are willing to entertain other concessions. They just like to be represented at the table. Am I correct in that?
That's right. He got all the monetary concessions. This is pure union breaking.
Yeah, and you know the what was so disheartening to me was to when they said that the unions help Democrats. They speak in terms as they speak about us as minority members of this culture, and to suggest that we don't have the ability to make informed decisions based on our best interest. Teachers support Democrats because Democrats represent their best interest as opposed to the corporations who, without question, as evidenced by the call from the fake David Koch or whoever it was, to the governor was very accommodating to that individual who he assumed was the Koch, one of the Koch brothers, whereas the people in the communities are the ones that voted him in office. The now that he wants that he's used the voters to get himself in office, then he turns his back toward the corporations, and he's trying, as I understand it, to satisfy a few of their needs. As far as some friends of mine were telling me, and I was hoping that they would call through. I have another call on the board, and I'll invite them to come in just a second. But one of the things was environmental concerns. There are some cleanup things that have to do with, if I'm not mistaken, a railroad or something like that, and those concerns, he's trying to excuse those concerns to have the environmental cleanup. And I wish I had done a little bit more research, and I will in the future weeks, because this is not the last time that I plan to address what's going on in Wisconsin. Regardless of whatever is going on, no matter where else, we'll include those issues as well. But I really am focused on this Wisconsin and those other states, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and those states, because but anyway, there are some other. He wants to assist in the Koch brothers in some energy issues. I can't remember what those energy issues are. I think I have them in an email, but I'd have to dig them up right quick. But if you don't mind, 715, don't go away. Just hold on a second. I want to add another voice to this particular conversation, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. 484, do you hear me? Are you on? Yes. Caller from 484 area code. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, who is this, Sister Rabia?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Sister Rabia? I'd like you to meet a young lady in Wisconsin, caller number 715. I'm calling from area code 715. Sister Rabia, tell me, how are you doing up there in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania with SMART?
I'm doing okay. I don't hello, young lady that's in Wisconsin. I don't know too much about what's going on in Wisconsin. I hadn't seen the news.
Right,
because
right.
Because of school. So
right.
I was just listening, and I was just
right.
getting bits and pieces of what you guys were talking about.
May I suggest that this could be a point where that you two could come together on, and this is what I mean is this. That you're going to school, you already have a degree, and you're going to school now to get another degree, I believe in, what is it in, social, what's your second degree?
Social
Hello?
Science.
I'm sorry, social science?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've started up your own shelter, or it's a shelter program for ladies. Could you give us a little explanation as to not only women, but families as well. Could you give a little bit of an explanation as to what you're doing there in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania? And I think that the issue that's happening in Wisconsin has a similarity, because women are going to be disenfranchised. As I understand it, the unions that supported this Governor Walker were male-dominant unions. The unions that he's attacked, which I say, when I say unions, please understand that I mean individuals who happen to unite for a particular purpose. Not union is just a throwaway word that has some connotation that is offensive. But those ladies are going to be adversely impacted by the decisions made by this current administration of Wisconsin. So how do you address the what I'm saying there, Sister Rabia? How are you addressing the where you have families that are in need and children that are in need? What does your program offer for those individuals?
Well, we provide different types of services to single mothers and their children.
Right.
But we focus more on the mothers in regards to drug and alcohol abuse,
right.
Life life skills training.
Right.
Violence prevention, relapse prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Coping skills. We teach them different types of coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
And money issues, things like that. Housing.
Right.
Help out with the housing. Mm-hmm.
Well, you, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you had to design this program, and you had to do all the gathering of resources and gathering of exempt statuses and gathering of all this, you totally constructed this from the ground up. Am I correct?
Yes, it took some years. It took some years
right.
of researching.
Mm-hmm.
Doing assessments on different women,
right.
You know, finding out what their needs were, what
right.
the majority concerns were of women that were in shelters, women that were abused, women that were looking for jobs and things of that. It took a little while, about 7 years.
Right, and
doing it off and on.
What was your incentive? Did you tell me?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
What was your incentive? What was your motivation? What is this effort dedicated? Who is this effort dedicated to?
Mainly my mother. My mother, may she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
When she was alive, her and I did we started out with a daycare in her home, and
mm-hmm.
Having a daycare in her home, we found out that there were a lot of other issues going on with the mothers. Most of them were
mm-hmm.
single. And, you know, just starting, you know, helping them, assisting them in different areas. Watching some people in my own family, you know, go
right.
through different
mm-hmm.
trials and tribulations and trying to assist them. And,
mm-hmm.
and then it just went on and on and on. It's
right.
nonstop.
And, you know, it's to me, you know, the reason that I so much support you and feel such a strong affinity for what you do is similar to the caller 715. I know she works with children. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Kindergarten through eighth grade.
I'm sorry?
Kindergarten through eighth grade.
Right. And I'm sorry. And my daughter happens to be with the adolescents anywhere from, I forget what grades they are, and they're some of the troubled children. And what she's expressed to me is, for instance, there were some young ladies who came into her class. And this is not any extensive or, you know, as I would say, you know, I have no clue, but I'm just saying these are just regular, everyday people that are going through issues on a daily basis. Nothing is like what's in Wisconsin. That's introduced. That's an impact to me that could have been avoided or at least to some degree mitigated. But and she tells me about some of the issues where that, you know, the confidence that the young ladies, the lack of confidence, lack of support, and she's working to provide them with incentive to focus and to have them realize the connection between not only what they're doing at school and the world outside of school, but also with them developing a positive mental state to where that they can look forward to making plans, because they come in almost kind of a little bit emotionally devastated or emotionally ill-impacted. And she, to me, from what I can gather, is trying to provide them with self-esteem, which is what I hear you do with the SMART program, Sister Rabia, and the caller at 715. I understand, I'm sure that you probably have some interface with some of the youth who have for whatever reason, some emotional problems that causes some disturbance with them, And all these things are so necessary in order, in my opinion, for us to develop a social environment that is cohesive, that is productive, and you know, it begins to kind of get things lined out a little bit better for everybody involved. And whenever I see arbitrary disruption introduced, it only exacerbates the problems that we already encounter. And so I see, Sister Rabia, you are working with the remedial aspects, having people recover from different issues having to do with life. I see Sister there, 715, initially involved with individuals who may or may not be coming from trouble home situations or environments. And those all are, to me, a part of one chain, which is to help society become the best that it can possibly be. And I just really want to say, number one, that I appreciate what you guys do. And 715, if you are you
can
also,
I ask her a question?
Sure.
I want to ask the lady at 715 a question. Is she still
sure.
on?
Yep, I'm here. Sure. What's your question?
Okay. I have a question. I like to know, in your opinion, what age do you find the most crucial when you're trying to educate a child or get a child to change their way of thinking from a negative to a positive? Which age group do you find most difficult to work with children?
Well, for me personally, it would be the middle school age, because when they get that big chip on their shoulder, it's, you know, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mm-hmm. earlier the intervention and having a positive attitude about oneself, the better. I also volunteer at a juvenile facility here. It's not a lockdown place, but it's where kids
wow.
are referred here through the juvenile justice system or Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of kids that
mm-hmm.
are hurting. We
wow.
we get kids from like a 5-state area, but we had this facility has room for over 100 children, and right
mm-hmm.
now this is down to 55 children, and that
wow.
that place also has a school. The needs are there, but the funds aren't, unfortunately. And
yeah.
and they have the kids. You know, the counties are paying for them, so they're having shorter stays. At that facility, they don't have much time to work with the kids before they send them back. I think it's sad. Some of these kids have traveled in places you and I can't even begin to imagine the difficulty they've had in their young lives. So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
well, Sister Rabia, she works in a facility also.
Mm-hmm.
What's mm-hmm. so funny about that is that I work with I work in a state correctional facility.
Okay.
There it's all men.
Okay.
And it's about 1,500 men at this state prison.
Okay.
And the stories, I'm a counselor, but the stories that I hear are stories of when they were a child.
Mm-hmm.
And where they started, where it started going wrong in their lives, you know. So when you said the younger, the better as far as educating them, you know, and showing them a different lifestyle, I just totally agree. You know, that I'm, you know, some people say, oh, they 5 years old, they too young. No, they're not. No, they're not. I had a gentleman tell me when he was 6 years old, he was selling drugs for his father at 6.
Yeah.
He was taking drugs to school to give it to another boy to give it to his father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they was transporting drugs. You know, so, and, you know, I just totally agree with the earlier the prevention, the better.
Another thing, too, is, you know, they come out of communities where there's so much grief and strife. And even like with the education system, they always bring up Milwaukee. Well, until until the community is addressed, that you can bring jobs there. The unemployment in Milwaukee is horrific.
Well,
you know, they expect the schools to do everything. The community needs the help, you know, so that they have jobs and things. It's awful. Employers don't come there.
Matt, let me just add a little bit here. That, you know, it's kind of like if you have a sore, if you have a cut on your hand, for instance, and it's a deep cut, and you get it taken care of, you get it cleaned out, bandaged, and then that's the kid. You've taken that kid up to a point, and you've changed them up to a point, or assisted them in changing themselves up to a point where they feel comfortable, they feel confident, and then you reintroduce them back into that environment. It's like taking that cut and sticking it into a cesspool that's going to get reinfected, because that kid doesn't have the psychological and emotional wherewithal to deal with the environment that they're being sent back into. Mm-hmm. And there has to be where that the environment has to see the child as needing to be supported, and the child has to be able to develop, to me, a confidence in the environment that it will support them when they come back in. But you know, I could get it, you know, whenever my daughter and I talk, my encouragement for her is to understand that what they told us when we were I'm by God's grace clean off drugs and alcohol since August 22nd, 1988. Never forget that date. But the idea of it is that you have to be able, either one, to change your people, places, or things, or you have to be able to change to a point that they don't affect you as bad as they normally would. And I see so many kids struggle with, if it's not drugs and alcohol, it's going back into environments that aren't conducive of them developing into their better selves. They continue to struggle in these environments, and it's very, very, very difficult. And on the one hand, 715, you work with the kids who haven't gotten to the point where Sister Rabia finds them. You know, and because when you see them, they're in an environment where that they have an opportunity to develop skills, and what you said, coping skills, Sister Rabia. I was 36 when I went into a treatment center. This is why I get a little bit mad at Charlie Sheen, but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was 36 when I went into, and I had been using, you know, drugs and alcohol since I was 16 years old. But I had a job. I was doing really, really good. I didn't steal, I didn't rape, I didn't rob, I didn't molest, didn't do any of that stuff. I worked, but I liked to do my little thing after work, which was smoking weed. That was my thing. But I felt comfortable in doing it. I could, you know, defend myself. You know, when anyone would address me, well, why, you know, I'd tell them, hey, I do it because I'm, you know, whatever. I have a good job, I'm taking care of business. But until I went into that environment for 28 days for me, I met a guy, and one of the things I'll never forget, this guy was 20 years clean off of doing some heavy stuff. He did heavy stuff. And he was a cowboy, and I didn't like cowboys. I'm from Texas. All cowboys to me, when we integrated, was fights. That's all it was. But anyway, when I went to the center, and this cat was he was a counselor, and we would have a little blue book deal, and then we'd turn around and do therapy in a circle. And this guy, he looked at me and go, what are you doing here? And I was like, uh-oh, here's my time. You know, I'm about 5'11", 260. I'm like, let's do this. And I said, I'm going to tell you why I'm here. I said, I'm here because I've been working in the, you know, in the oil field and all around, and I've been around a lot of, you know, a lot of things, prejudice, racism, all this kind of stuff. And I said, because prejudiced people make me angry. And this guy, he was twiddling with his finger, had his legs crossed, slid down in his seat. I always wore some really cool boots and pants and all this. I mean, starched and pressed jeans and nice little coat and everything. I didn't like him until this day. And he said, he never looked up at me. And I was sitting there, I was leaning forward in my seat. I just knew this is it. And he said, people don't make you angry. He said, you make yourself angry. And I was like, what? You know, I couldn't believe, what do you mean I make myself? And then I started thinking about it. And it makes sense. It's not what people do to me. It's how I react to what people do to me. And from that point on, he had won me over to the extent that I wanted to listen to him. So he, it's like, you know, my daughter and I talk, and I tell her, baby girl, when you go into a classroom, in my opinion, a lot of teachers go into a classroom, and they say, I'm going to teach a person. Well, these kids will challenge you. They'll cross their arms and legs and say, well, teach me. You know, or you could create such a desire, insatiable desire for them to learn. They'll suck the knowledge out of you. They can't leave. They want to get more knowledge out of you. But if you challenge them, in my opinion, they'll cross their arms and they'll say, you're not going to teach me. But you know, I'm just saying that all of us, to me, have some contributions to make to our children. And I mean, like I said, 59 years of age, you know, my life's pretty much written. I have grandchildren now, and I do my best to speak with them. And any other opportunities I have to visit with other children, I do my best to speak with them and to provide them not only a reassessment of the problem, but also what a solution is. And this is what I see you doing, area code 715. And Sister Rabia, this is what I see you doing, even from what you've told me about your experiences with in the setting that you're in on a daily basis for your income, as well as the setting that you are working with reestablishing people's self-esteem, or in some instances providing them with the first sense of self-esteem and self-fulfillment. We have to knit all this stuff together, because we can see what we're up against now, I think, without any question or doubt, you know. So I look forward to us all investing in our children. I don't know if y'all saw the situation in Florida where that the buses are pulling up to the hotels because people are losing their homes.
I saw that. 25% of our children in poverty.
How many?
25% of it's up to 25% of our children of this country, this very wealthy country, live in poverty. It's obscene.
Wow.
Well, yeah. And you know those Wall Street guys and some of those individuals making $150 million, $200-300 million a year. And how could you stand to see? I mean, you know, kids or families suffer. I mean, a dad that had a family, and how many kids was it? 715.
There were three children in that family.
How many?
Yeah, there were three in that one family.
Three, and they had to wash up at Walmart.
Yep.
Before they went to school. Did you see that, Sister Rabia?
No, I didn't see that part.
They lived in their car, and they washed up at Walmart before they went to school. You know, and I mean, you know, and these guys, I go in some chat rooms, and these guys are laughing. Oh, we're running this, we're running that, we're doing this. And I'm like, how could you be so heartless? I mean, you know, by God's grace, my kids and grandkids are doing reasonably well. But, you know, by the grace of God, there go I. I mean, what's standing between me and devastation? Financial or otherwise, and this is one reason that I have a problem with the Koch brothers. You know, it's not a personal thing. It's a thing with the idea of how can you, in such decadence, look down and call people slobs. I mean, like this assemblyman or whatever he is called, senator or whatever.
A senator. He'll be up for a recall. We'll get rid of that slob.
And you know, I tell you honestly, I'm rooting for you guys. And like I say, for the next several weeks, I intend to have something about what's going on in Wisconsin and other states, And you are more than welcome every time and any time to give us a call in here. And I really appreciate your input. And, you know, I just wanted to throw that in. And let me say, with all sincerity, I respect, humbly, and appreciate what you and Sister Rabia are doing. And it almost, I was looking at, did y'all see where Peter King has the committee investigating Muslims today? Did anybody,
yeah.
Did y'all?
I saw a little bit of that today. You know, I just think that's really peculiar because I got the intelligence report from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and there's like about 1,000 hate groups, the 1,000 top hate groups. I bet they're not being mentioned at all.
Right, right. You know, right, exactly. They, because they say that, well, I forget what number that the... what number down from the top, you know, they're the top X amount of people, this person, that person, and then it finally gets down to the what they consider to be homegrown terrorists, I mean the Muslims. And the they are like 6 or 7 down. You know, they are what they consider to be the homegrown terrorists that are up there way ahead of them. But this guy just arbitrarily, and as I understand it, he was for the, you know, the what they call it in Ireland, the NRA or whatever it is. You know, and he supported, you know, the one I'm talking about.
Yep.
The ones that were fighting, and I can't think of it.
I can't think of it right now either. I'm just having those little glitches in my brain.
But. You know, and the point I think I'm trying to make here is that why attack just arbitrarily a group of individuals here in the United States who you suspect could potentially cause problems when actually there are more groups that have caused problems that are more pervasive than this particular group is.
Okay.
But I'm sorry.
That's right, and then it reminds me of back in World War II when they gathered up Japanese because they were, you know, a certain group, and they...
Right, and nobody, nobody, back then you could see that the society hadn't evolved to the point, to me, that it is today, where that, you know, I could see some justification because of the lack of social development during that period of time. But with all the information available and in this day and time, there is, as I understand it, it's purely political. And what the association is trying to be made is with when you, and I hate to get off of the other topics that you guys have been talking about, which are the children, but I have to introduce this. What they do is they attack President Obama with the idea that he's quote-unquote a Muslim, and their base primarily has a belief that he is a Muslim. So then if that's the case, what you do is you make a big political issue about Muslims or Islam or whatever. And then what you do is you subliminally associate it with the President of the United States in seeking to dislodge some of the loyal supporters of the President of the United States. And I hope that people are intuitive enough to read between those lines and understand that these aspersions that are being cast and this innuendo does not represent truth. In my opinion, it only represents certain perspectives, and it's very, in a way, I can only say it's skillful because it's a marketing tool. It's a way to market where you attack your competitor and you supposedly improve your standing with the customer base. And so, you know, what we have to do, in my opinion, is all of us, because this attack is against the citizens of the United States. When you attack unions, you attack citizens. And when you attack citizens, you attack children. And when you say children, then that brings you, 715, back into it because you work with children on a daily basis. And, Sister Rabia, you work with children on a daily basis, you know. And you work with those which you volunteered, as I understand it, 715, to work with the individuals who find themselves incarcerated, or at least
they're not. They're not incarcerated. They're not locked in. It's not a jail.
Oh,
but
okay.
We're hoping to keep them from not making that step to incarceration.
Right.
So that they can have productive lives.
Uh huh.
So.
Oh. Okay.
Mhm.
You know, I want to thank again, Sister. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Listen. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Some are court appointed, and some are appointed by Health and Human Services.
Okay. Mhm.
You know. There was a person that came into the chat room. This is where they are today. And I want to thank Sister India DeClaire. I want to thank Chatologist, and I want to thank Brother Alpho and Guest 18256 for being in the chat room. Thank you. Really appreciate you being there. And also, I lost that thought because what they typed in the chat was squeal, leeches, squeal, your gravy train is ending, 82% of all schools failing. I'm like, what is this all about? You know, The whole point of it is that, you know, it's not about school, it's not about win or lose, and I don't really understand what is the separation. If you want a successful USA, and which I think a lot of people don't have an interest in, as long as you had a current president, and because there are a lot of people who have come to the realization that. That color is nothing that you can do anything about, but you can do what you can do something about is improving your current condition. And what I see this president has done is he's improved his current condition phenomenally from the time that he was a child up to today. And he's an example. And this is what a lot of people have a problem with for children today, to understand that I can start from this point in my life. And eventually I can reach to be, if not President of the United States, a very successful individual. And these, I think, are the things, regardless to how a person defines success. And as I listen to, like I say, Sister 715 area code and Sister Rabia, your investment is in improving conditions for children, as well as doing the best that we can to provide a better situation for their parents, you know, and how anyone could have any opposition to those objectives is really beyond my ability to comprehend. Some people are still threatened, and some people are invested in, past tradition and custom that would suggest that only a certain few individuals should have access and should be, you know, accepted and able to improve their situations or circumstances, and you know, to my idea, that's ridiculous, you know, so anyway, I'm just thinking, rambling, and thinking as I speak, and my involvement with children, I hope to retire hopefully sometime this year. Or, you know, and whenever I do, what my objective would be is to work with children. And so I may be calling on you two to give me information as to how I can better facilitate whatever skills I have to the extent that I can be of some service to children, if y'all don't mind. Is that possible?
Sure is.
Absolutely.
I may be able to come to Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, Sister Rabia. One of these days, or maybe even somewhere up there in the cold country they call Wisconsin. Is that near Russia?
No, it's near the Arctic.
You know, what's really strange is geographically, you two are separated. I don't know by how many miles from Wisconsin to Pennsylvania.
I would say that's about maybe 1,200 miles.
You know, but when it comes to what your endeavors are, you are very closely associated. And I can promise you there are very few individuals that I've met, like the little lady in 715 area code, and I really appreciate you. It's nice. We've been talking for, what, 3 or 4 years maybe now? Sister Rabia, how long have we been talking for? 3, 4, 5, something like that, years now?
Yeah,
but,
And
I just, you know, I'm just blessed. And as I say, I just met my sister Indy DeClaire there, and I just met Sister Shedologist and Brother Alpho, and all the individuals that I've suggested. And I'm not sure who guest 18256 is, but welcome to the room.
I think that's me.
Oh,
I can't figure
you?
how to get in here with my name.
You know, it's hard to do sometimes. I've had a lot of people that have had problems doing it.
Yeah,
and
I've tried 3 or 4 times, so I'm coming in here under many numbers tonight.
Well, that's okay. Just so you come and it's not an encumbrance on you to do so. But I really appreciate you doing it. And if anyone is out there wants to give us a call, please feel free to do so, 347-945-7040. And Sister Rabia, you know, anytime you're welcome, you know that, to come through. I know you like to get your rest, and it's an hour later for you. It's 9:16 for you, right? It's 8:16
yeah.
for us. You know, so you have a... How have things been going with what you're doing up there? You've been having meetings still and that kind of thing, or what's been happening?
Yeah, things are going pretty good. I don't have any complaints. We've been doing a lot with the
Do what now? Hello? Did she drop? Yes, she dropped. Maybe she'll give me a call back. But 715, Sister Rabia, I have a chance to visit with her quite often, and she has to have meetings with different community groups and organizations up there to help her group grow and so forth.
Okay.
And I'm really proud to have met her, especially with her having, you know, just started her program. So. Are there many teachers that are, what were you saying earlier about the teachers that may be retiring or whatever? I kind of botched that trying to explain it.
Well, the teachers have a certain package, retirement package,
mm-hmm.
after the age of 55.
Uh-huh.
They are given this certain package if they've been in the
mm-hmm.
district X amount of years. And
mm-hmm.
because of what happened last night and this morning, they sent letters out to teachers that were 53 years old, saying that they
wow.
would offer them that same package. These are teachers that are in their prime, and when they walk out the door, our district is going to be less for it.
Right. You know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We have, in one of the buildings, we have 2 classes of each grade, and right now it looks like in one of the buildings, both of the kindergarten teachers and the first grade teachers will be retiring.
And
those are heavy shoes to fill. And it's so nice when you have an older teacher there that can help the new one come in. Because no teacher, their first year is a great teacher that you learn over time.
Right.
So it will really hurt the very beginning that they'll have to have new people. So I am very sad because these are teachers that are leaving when they're in their prime, that had no idea that they were going to be retiring now. So
do you think? Go ahead.
It's just sad. I weep for them. They've served our school district in a wonderful way, and they shouldn't be going out this way, feeling, you know, that they're being thrown out.
Right. You know, and the children are going to suffer as well. And as the children
they're going to suffer more.
Right.
They're going to suffer more. I can't imagine our high school offering as many electives with all the teachers that they've laid off. So I'm thinking in order for kids to graduate, I may not be right, I think the graduation requirements may have to be lessened because
wow.
there aren't going to be the classes available.
You know, hopefully this week, you know, you sent me some information, and I had it here a minute ago. But you sent me some information about the ill effects that that would occur as a result of this guy's incessant march toward having his way with his Republican ideology, and which is going to have a terrible effect on a lot of people, not just the teachers, but the students
teachers.
And the families. And I, as I understand it, aren't y'all rated pretty high as far as education, state education is concerned? What are you, number three or something like that?
We're right up there. We're right,
right
up there as far as the ACT test, you know, the the test that the kids in the Midwest take to go
right.
to college. We're usually one either number one or number two. I think there will be some school districts that will not survive this at all.
Wow.
They'll have to close. Yeah.
Wow. That will that mean consolidation, increase of class sizes?
Oh, sure.
Wow. That's And
Yeah, $900 million is going to be taken away from education in Wisconsin. $900 million. Our school district, that comes to about $500,000. Over and above what we were going to have cuts anyhow, but it's really going to cut deep. But that's just one thing. We have Badger Care that's going to take a hit. Badger Care is insurance for those who are
right.
not in the people in the poverty level who can't afford insurance otherwise.
Right.
That's going to take a cut. Lots of things that have absolutely nothing to do with schools. And unfortunately, that is not getting any press. Only the teacher part is getting press.
Yeah, that's what my friend, you were telling me that, and another person was telling me that also, that that the emphasis has been on, quote unquote, the union thing. And
right.
and you know that the term union is cleverly introduced to have a negative meaning. And it only, when you think of it, represents adults. It doesn't take into consideration that the children are in the families of these individuals. And what, to me, unions are, if you talk about the United States, that's a union. The Confederacy fired on the quote-unquote union. And when you talk about two people being get married, they form a union, you know.
Right.
And I don't understand how that but it's a good, it's marketing, it's an excellent marketing ploy to have union be associated with something negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so they suggest that money will get people elected, and I strongly disagree. Money does not get, because once you decide and make a determination as to what's in your best interest, then you're not going to vote along with the money. And I'm hoping that, do you see any sense in Wisconsin that people's eyes have been opened as a result of what's occurred with the antics of this current governor?
Well, I would hope they are, but I can't speak on that personally because in my, where I am, I'm with like-minded people, so I don't get a chance.
Right.
I don't go out in the community that much to
right.
to actually start a conversation
right.
with people, so I don't know. I would hope that they would have wised
yeah,
up.
You would, yeah.
If they haven't, they will when school starts and there are big classes and less subjects for them to have and with art and music slashed. They'll find out.
Yeah, that's like I say, that's really terrible. I was trying to pull up that information that you sent me. And,
are public Wisconsin public employees overcompensated?
Right.
That
yeah.
one or
do you
one
have
of them?
It? If you,
I've got it.
You do.
Yep, I've got it. I printed. I had to print one out. But it's many pages. It's many pages, so.
Oh, I know. But one of the, let me see if I can, let's see. It was talking about K-12 education revenue controls. Governor Walker's budget proposal will decimate funding for public education while expanding opportunities for taxpayer-supported private schools with 69,353 licensed teachers and specialists in the state. Each teacher would have to take more than $9,000 pay cut to approximate proposed cuts in the school funding. Thousands will leave the profession, and layoffs will ensue, harming education opportunities for all children and eroding the economic base of their communities. That's part of what you sent me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reduces per-pupil funding 5.5% of proposed purposes of revenue controls. In 2009-2010, the average allowable revenue per pupil was $10,107.42. A 5.5% reduction translates to $551 lost per pupil.
Yep,
and then
you take your school size times that $550, and you find that it gets to be a big chunk of change.
Right, exactly. And mm-hmm. these, in my opinion, I'm, and it's just my assumption, could to a large degree have been avoided. Brother Alpha is one of the best at this, and Sister India Declare, and Sister Janice Graham. And I'm not sure who else, but I know these three individuals, Sister India Declare, Sister Janice Graham, and Brother Alpha, have the statistical evidence to represent what I'm talking about, and they do it every time. If you have a chance to check them out, Sister India Declare will be on tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Brother Alpha will be on Saturday, I believe it's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But if you have a problem, look up ALFO in the search engine at Blog Talk Radio, ALFO, our Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, OURCOMMONGROUND, RJNICEGRAHAM, our Sister India Declare, INDIADECLAIR. And they usually do one excellent job of providing sources of this information. And I hope to improve as I continue on in my endeavors with Blog Talk Radio and my little show called The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And we are definitely continuing to enter into one phase after another, and we'll be looking at the next phase every week, every Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. right here, and that's Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Now, call us 715. Let me check back. Here's another, let's see, higher spending districts will see more significant losses. Districts spending $12,500 per pupil, for example, will lose an estimated $687.50 in per pupil funding, while districts spending $9,500 per pupil will lose $552.50 in funding. This treatment is far from equal.
Right.
And that, like that individual that ran in the chat room and ran away, they have no clue what it is that they're in opposition to. I don't understand what they do or why they do it. But, information to me is the key, and it can provide tremendous bonuses and benefits if we seek to inform ourselves. And as I say, as I continue on, I have 90 seconds, 715. Let me tell you, thank you for joining
thank
us. And
you.
I encourage you to do it again if you have an opportunity. Would you please?
I will try to. Wish me luck on Saturday.
I sure will. And I'll probably talk to you after we get off of here in the chat room somewhere.
Okay.
Blessings
to everyone in the room, and thank you very much.
Blessings to you, and appreciate your information.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, take good care. Sister Chatologist, thank you for joining us. Sister India Declare, thank you for joining us. Brother Alpha, thank you for joining us. And I really appreciate you being here. And look forward to your show tomorrow, Sister India Declare. That's at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Brother Alpha, Saturday, I believe 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I'm going to say peace, respect, high regard, blesses everybody. In the chat room, blesses everybody who've taken an opportunity to listen to us. Thank you, 715. Sister Rabia, thank you so much. Sister Rabia Ahmed, SMART2Change.org. Thank you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. We'll be heard every Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Appreciate you being here. We're going to say good night. We'll see you next week.